North Rock Podcast.
Welcome to North Rock. Doesn't matter which week or which service that I'm in, every time I look out, I see some new friendly faces staring back at me, and a few older ones that, you know, don't smile as much, but yeah, we're all glad that the smiling faces and the not-so-smiling faces are here this morning. We know that you have a choice of where you'd like to go worship at, and we're thankful that you decided to be here today. And really, that is what we're going to be talking about today, is how can we as people caught in the midst of some of the storms and the struggles and the difficulties and the challenges of life activate thankful testimonies to really be people who are filled with gratitude. And so one of the ways that we do that is we practice it, right? How many of you guys know that it's a spiritual discipline? It's, in fact, it's spiritual warfare, according to the scriptures, to be thankful for the hope and the joy that he gives us, right? So that's a good place for an amen. And I'm just going to tell you, throughout the month of November, we're going to be talking about how do we cultivate attitudes of gratitude. We're going to be talking about ways that we can get better at being thankful and seeing God in the midst of some of the storms that we may encounter in this world, right? How many of you guys have figured out by now there are some storms in this world? There's some challenges. Yeah, there I got an amen. They're like, oh yeah, now you're preaching, brother, right? But again, part of it is we have to like exercise those spiritual muscles. We have to train our eyes to see that in the midst of a culture that has a lot of different frequencies, right? A lot of different points of information coming into our life. It's like, you know, one of my jobs in recent years has been helping to oversee a 5-state territory of churches and helping new churches get started. And some of those places are Kansas and Nebraska and South Dakota and Missouri. And when you're driving through those, you can be listening to some good worship music, and all of a sudden it just kind of goes. You guys know what I'm talking about? How many of you guys are thankful for the Lord for satellite radio? Right? Man, I'm still saving up for that, but it is a good thing. When I rent a car and I get satellite radio, it's a good day. I'm thankful for satellite radio today. I'm thankful for the opportunity to come and proclaim our faith and to worship the Lord unrestrained in America because of some of the rights that have been procured for us. That's a good thing, right? And so all you're going to be hearing over the next several months are really God teaching me to be more thankful. So one of the things I'm thankful for is the opportunity to come and preach. And the other thing that I'm thankful for this morning is all of you smiling faces. Got some friends in the house today. We are so glad you're here. And I would wonder if you would entertain me just this one thing. Would you indulge me by allowing me to take your picture? Okay, because one of the things that we're doing in this series called #thankful, cultivating an attitude of gratitude, is we're asking you to go onto social media, whether it's Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, whatever it is that you use, and just use the #NorthRockThankful and tell us a little bit of something that you're grateful for, a little bit of something that God's doing in your life that we can celebrate together. Do you guys know that when we do that, we actually encourage one another in the faith? That when I can see your story and you can see my story and you can see their story, that we go, oh, I'm not in this alone. And collectively, we have a testimony that yells out, God is faithful, he is good, and he is merciful. Amen? So if you would indulge me just this one thing, I'd ask everybody in the side rows to come find a seat somewhere in the middle here. I tried to do this before and get everybody, and I just can't get everybody. So if you're willing to participate, okay, not forcing you, but I'd really, 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 really like to get your picture this morning. I'd really like to put it on Facebook this morning, and I want to show the world some of the people that I'm thankful for here at North Rock. And don't you just love when they give a preacher a microphone and we get in there and he makes us do stuff we don't want to do? Isn't that kind of the experience of church sometimes? Right? Oh yeah, pack it in tight, y'all. Yeah, that's what I like to see. All right, so two things I'm asking. One, that you scoot in, and now I want you to give me your very best. North Rock, we're happy to be here. We're excited that the pastor made us all scrunch together and make us uncomfortable with one another today, okay? So again, give us a greeting. 1, 2, 3. Say, go Broncos! Yeah, there we go. Got some Bronco fans in the house. All right, thank you. So for those of you that maybe do not normally, and just saying, if you would like to go back to your original seats, you're allowed to. Okay, but I really like having you all in here tight. You know, I don't have to work my neck so much looking at you guys, right? But while I upload this to Facebook to just say I'm thankful for you, maybe you don't use Facebook. Maybe you're not a social media tech savvy type of person. So we have gone through, we have made available to you a little 4x4 card that you should have been handed on your way in today that just says hashtag thankful. If there's something you'd like to share with us, whether it's a praise report about the health or finances or something that you're just seeing victory in, we want to know. And so that's a way that you can participate in this month with us. And I got to tell you, when I put these kind of challenges out there, it's for a reason, number one, right? Because we're activating faith. Do you guys know that being thankful is faith? Being thankful is saying, God, no matter what my circumstances might be telling me right now, no matter how loud the noise in my life might be, I trust that you are good and that you are faithful. And do you guys know that when in the scriptures, and I'm already preaching here, I'm trying to finish something up, but I'm going to say this and then we'll get into the message, okay? Preaching here already. Do you know that where thankful goes, hope goes? Do you know that in the scriptures, the traveling partners, right, with thankfulness is joy? 334 different passages that speak of the topic of hope, right? And joy, over 150 of those, 190 that talk about hope. So what I'm saying is that when we're thankful, I don't know if that ushers in hope and joy, but I know they hang out together, right? So part of what we're talking about is that frequency, right? That if we will be a thankful people, if we will focus on the joy of the Lord in the midst of strife and struggles, and if we will be a people of hope, that we'll be more thankful, amen? And how many of you guys know that that's a good thing, right? How many of you guys know we need more happy people in this world? More thankful people in this world, right? So again, while I do this, we're going to just treat you to a song because I know that in America, we are chronically a depressed society. In fact, almost 15 million people struggle with that. And so today, I just want to take a minute and remind you guys of a great song that came out in, I believe, 1998 called Don't Worry, Be Happy. Go ahead and roll it, guys. And while you do that, you can fill out your thankful card, or you can post a picture of me or somebody next to you. But we're going to be thankful, and my goal is to have 1,000 thankful hashtag North Rock thankfuls by the end of this series. Think we can do it? Come on, let's be happy this morning. Come on, we're getting loose now. Hey, is it all right to have fun in church? I hope so, because I'm having fun. Look, that easy. North Rock thankful for all y'all. Posted. Guys, just made you famous. Just made you famous right there. Okay, go on Facebook. You'll find it right there, yeah. That if I get some royalties out of it, I'll be sure to share them with you, all right? So let's go ahead and pray, and we'll dive into what the scriptures have to teach us today, all right? Well, Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come and to hear your word, Lord, to be encouraged in your spirit, to be encouraged as a part of your body. Lord, we know that even though there are difficulties in this world, Lord, we don't have to focus only on those. But Lord, you lift our eyes to heaven. You lift our eyes to your goodness. You lift our eyes to the joy and the hope and the possibilities of life in you that you bring. Father, we know that this world can bring challenges that destroy people, that cause death, that cause sickness, that cause worry and grief. And Lord, we choose to be a people that travel in the pack of hope and joy and thankfulness in the midst of storms. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. So, again, great song, but I gotta admit to you right now, developing the attitude of gratitude isn't always that easy, is it? It's like, oh, how easy, great, he preached his message, don't worry, be happy. It's what I expected at church, right? But if that pastor only knew what it is that I'm going through, he wouldn't say that. Can I just tell you, I know, there are struggles all throughout this place. And I can illustrate it really easy. And we're going to do it together. You guys are going to be my illustration. If you have dealt with a major illness in yourself or a primary family member's life in the past year, raise your hand. Okay, just leave them up there for me if you would. If you have battled emotional sadness and a depression type of an atmosphere, go ahead and raise your hand. Okay? Maybe it's a financial battle. Maybe in the past year you are fighting a financial battle that's discouraging you. Maybe it might be depressing us, but it's discouraging us, right? Go ahead and raise your hand. Okay? So again, most of us, right? And in fact, everybody else didn't raise their hands, may just struggle with lying just a little bit, right? just a little bit. I'm just saying. But I also applaud that if that wasn't the case, that we should rejoice in that. Right? That we should say, man, it is a good time and a good season. And somewhere in the, I don't know, in the church culture, though, that insipid little expectation can get in there. That we should never have to suffer because we know Jesus. Anybody ever wrestle with that demon, right? Anybody ever deal with that? That it's like, God, why is it hard? Why does it have to be hard right now? And that's what we're talking about today, is what are the storms of life? Why do they come? And how can we cultivate attitudes of gratitude in the midst of a storm? So I'm not telling you this because I want you to stay in a storm. And I'm certainly not up here being the woe is me preacher saying, oh, life is so difficult, right? How many of you guys know that we have a Savior that'll lead us through storms? That God never intended for us to walk through this world without Him, and He is committed to seeing us through it. Okay, and that's what we're talking about today. How can I encourage my spirit, just as David did, to worship the Lord, to enter His gates with praise and with thankfulness, even knowing that there is some evidence in this world that would lead me to believe that life can be tough sometimes, right? So that was that illustration about the frequencies. Sometimes when I'm driving through those old country towns, my worship song gets kind of cut off. That makes me sad. Makes me mad. Makes me want to go buy satellite radio. Okay? Because why? Because that's connected always, right? Well, I can tell you this, being thankful is easy when things are going well. How many of you guys read the scriptures and they talk about victory this and victory that, and we go, amen! Come on, Lord, with it. Come on, Lord, with it. I want some more of that, right? Less the struggle passages, more the victory ones, right? That's a good place to say amen. It's okay to want to come through storms, right? And in fact, that's one of the things we're going to talk about today, is that sometimes when we trust God in the sovereignty of His plan for our life that leads us into some storms and through some storms, the purpose of those are so that we'll recognize His victory in our life, right? How many of you guys are like me that sometimes when things go well, I can kind of think it's because I did something right? 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 When things go well for a long time, sometimes we try to take the credit. We take the glory that should be ascribed to God, right? And so sometimes that's what we got to be reminded of. And so here's the deal. This is what we're talking about today. And that is this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18 says, always, everybody say always, be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus, right? What? Come on, man. Are you serious? In all things, always be joyful. Lord, I try to be joyful, but sometimes I don't feel very joyful. Right? Sometimes I don't feel very joyful. It's okay. We can admit that, right? We can admit. How many of you guys feel joyful all the time? Again, there's the lying ones. I'm telling you. No, I get it because we choose it, right? And the beauty of choosing it is that eventually our emotions align to God's truth. That the more we focus in on the frequency of God's promises in our lives and tune out maybe, or at least limit or manage the amount of negative information that we have on our phones and on our TVs at all times. Right? How many of you guys know that just the world events can cause discouragement if we don't manage that? But as we focus on the Holy Spirit, as we remember that He is in us and He is a victor in all of our things, as we focus in on the promises from His Word that says we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, right? As we do that, we become more thankful, we see more hope, and we see more joy in our lives. And I'm telling you, as a pastor who's been walking this out for 20 years, every day I need to cultivate thankfulness and joy in my life. Because every day we run into some obstacles, right? We run into challenges, we run into sicknesses, we run into situations that are just beyond our ability to cope with, okay? So again, to me, that's God's plan, right? How many of you guys would agree with me that I think part of God's sovereign plan, the purpose of pain in our lives, is to remind us that we need him desperately? Isn't it true that when we're struggling, when we're in a storm, when we have a challenge, that we seek him like we don't on normal days? Those are the times when you hear the words of the scripture that say, cry out before the Lord. It gets context when I'm in a storm because I'm crying out, Lord, I need you to do this in my life. I need you to lead me through this storm. I need you to lead me through this season. And that's exactly what he does. So again, the goal, the dream, the charge, the command from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 is always be joyful, never stop praying, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for those of you who belong to Jesus Christ. Okay? So again, that's the dream. That's the way that we need to approach and live out our lives here on earth. And again, the thing that I love about it is because it makes me wrestle with the circumstances of my life, right? We're thankful in what circumstances? Some? Good? Favorable? Amazing? Awesomely victorious? Powerful? In all. And as we do that, we cultivate, and quite frankly, the reason we're talking about this is because sometimes the season of Thanksgiving or November, we create a national holiday around it to remind ourselves that we should be thankful, right? We're thankful for this country. We're thankful for what we have here. But to me, this is more of an act of spiritual warfare than it is anything else. It's when I act as the scripture says I am to live. It's when I do that I find faith to step forward and believe God for more than what I'm currently experiencing. How many of you guys know that we are in the in-between, between God's promises and where we're at today, right? And we see some in part and we receive some in part, but there's always that tension in the scriptures, and my experience is and continues to be that there's always a tension. Yes, I'm blessed, but I'm also challenged, right? Yes, I'm whole, yet there are times when I'm sick in this world, right? There's a time, and there's a God in his sovereignty has chosen to allow some spirits and some challenges of this world to still attack us, right? So I feel kind of alone up here right now because you guys are like, that's your issue, not ours, right? Right? But I know you guys already raised your hand, so I know I'm preaching to somebody besides myself. But really, that is what you get. When you get a preacher, you get what the overflow of what God's dealing with them in their life about. So I am here because I want to be more thankful, okay? So Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28 says this, out of the New Living Translation, says, since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful and please God by worshiping him with holy fear and awe, right? So again, that's why the scriptures tell us when we enter into God's presence, when we come before him, we are to enter his gates with thankfulness. It's saying, God, no matter what I'm dealing with, you are above it all. You are the overcomer. You are the one who defeated death and the power of sin. And you have hope and joy and life for the situations that ail me, right? And why is that important that we discuss that as a church? Why is it that I'm challenging myself, but challenging us to live out a life that has hope? Can I just say, because everybody struggles with it? Okay, I told you the depression numbers. This hits home for me. I lived in a house where my mother was bipolar, okay? I know what the depression looks like. I know what it's like to live with it every day, okay? Just this past week, a former member of our congregation, a college-age person, decided to take their own life. And they did a funeral on Thursday because this is a real and active battle in this world, right? So it's not just a trite Christianese thing we should say, be thankful, amen. It's to say, this really matters because Matthew chapter 22, verse 21 says this, His name will be the hope of the world. That in a nutshell, is why we have to suffer sometimes. And I know that doesn't make sense just yet, but it will. Okay? Matthew 12, 21 says, His name will be the hope of the world. His name will be the hope of the world. And it's through His church that that hope gets extended. It's through the joy that we exude. It's through the way that we address and walk through our times of challenge. Okay? So again, part of it is that Jesus came to be light to the darkness, to be hope for the hopeless, or in my case, the hope challenged, right? And we are extensions of that, the greatest love letter that He's ever written, okay? But we've also talked about that there are circumstances in our lives that can rob us of joy, that can rob us of thankfulness, right? And yet our goal is to not stay in that place, but rather live out a testimony of thankfulness, an attitude of gratitude, no matter what season of life we're in. How many of you guys know that the Bible talks about seasons of life? Hey, if you're in a storm today, praise God, because you're not going to be there forever. Okay? And I got to be honest with you, some things are day storms. Sometimes they're year storms. Sometimes they're decade storms. Maybe they're an ailment that battle us and fight us all of our earthly living life. But can I encourage your heart today that this isn't the end of it? That there is hope, that there is joy, that there is that eternal promise that in the midst of our struggle on this earth, that God's goodness wins out. And that He is the Savior who went to the cross to pay for our sin, to defeat the power of death and sin in our lives. But He's also that risen God that has power to speak life into situations that feel like death. Amen? We got faith in the house today. I like that. Okay? So here are my observations. This one's super profound. Get your pen and paper out. Okay? Storms happen. Right? Should be a bumper sticker somewhere that says storms happen. Right? I'd like that better than some of the other bumper stickers that say things happen, right? But the sentiment may not be that far off. Storms happen. Storms happen. And I hope it's an encouragement to you today to realize that in Jesus, God's love and favor and blessing flows through your life. That when we're in a storm, it's not because we've done something necessarily that's caused that storm, right? How many of you guys know that storms happen even when we're doing everything we can to follow Jesus as closely as we can? Storms happen. You guys know that our obedience can lead us into a storm? You guys know that by following the voice of God in our life, He led His disciples into some storms, right? It's in there. It's not, I'm making this up. It's in the scriptures, right? That we have storms that we have to get through, but we don't have to go through it alone, and that's the thing that we can take heart in today. Storms happen. My second observation is simply this, that storms have the ability or give us the potential to either develop or damage an attitude of gratitude when we're in them. Okay? In other words, tuning into that frequency, training our eyes to see God's activity in the midst of a storm causes us in the middle of a storm to look a little bit harder than we normally would, right? How many of you guys have ever met my friend Hangnail Harry? Okay, Hangnail Harry got a hangnail back in 1965. Every time I see Harry, he tells me about that hangnail. Right? Harry Hangnail is not choosing to see God's faithfulness in his life. He's choosing to see what? The storm, the challenge, the pain, the difficulty, right? So here's my encouragement to you. Find community where people know your story, that love you, that will pray for you, will contend with you in the midst of a storm, but don't be Hangnail Harry. Okay, don't be the one that keeps going back to the point of the pain and thinking that somehow we feel better about it because we share with every single person we meet, right? Why? Because the same storm has the potential to come out with two different effects in our life. One, I just moved past my point here. One, it can develop our attitude of gratitude, remind us of when things are good that they're good, or it can damage our attitude of gratitude, right? So, not to offend Hangnail Harry's in the room. Don't look at anybody right now. That would be a very bad idea, okay? But there's also another person that I've met in this congregation and throughout life that I call Joyful Julie, right? Joyful Julie can be in the middle of a storm, and she chooses to praise her way through that. She chooses to be thankful and grateful for what she has. She chooses to see God in the midst of struggle and strife and challenge, okay? How many of you guys want to be Joyful Julies, right? Yeah, that's what I think God's doing in the midst of our storms, okay? So my first question is this: when we're in a storm, are we looking at the storm, or are we choosing to look at the Savior that speaks to that storm in the midst of it? We have free choice, right? We have free will. And that's not to in any way placate and say it's not a difficult circumstance. I do not mean for this message to come across as foo-pawing, you know, any difficult challenges that you might be going through today. I know that we all have them, okay? But what I am saying is that when we lift our eyes to see the faithfulness of God through the Scriptures, of God active in our testimonies right now, that we find our path through the storm, and we live another day to be thankful for what He's doing in our lives, okay? So again, this doesn't happen naturally because, one, I have a flesh, and my flesh wants to avoid pain, right? So when I see a storm coming, I try to steer my way out of it, right? Come on, right? The only way we'll go through the storm is if we remember these four things. One, we got to remember, if we're going to be have an attitude of gratitude, that trials are temporary. Trials are temporary. Whether it's a 40-day challenge for Jesus in the garden, if it was a 40-year challenge, you know, if the Israelites had to go through while they were in their wilderness season, right? Whether it's one of those or it's something that lasts even longer, that trials are temporary. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 says, "So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead." That's the good news. That's what I'm here today to encourage some people of today. You may be in a storm, but be truly glad because there's wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. Right? This world is filled with trials. So what we need to see in that promise is we need the ability to see not just into the temporary, immediate future, but beyond that, into eternity. How many of you guys know that when we get to heaven, when we get in the presence of Jesus, when all the pain and the hurt and the challenge and the fear and the worry, when all that subsides, then we'll know that we're in the presence of a good God, right? How many of you guys know that that same kingdom is available to us today? That He is active in the midst of our storms. He doesn't just say, accept Jesus and then wait it out. Tick tock, tick tock, tick tock. He says, no, my kingdom come, my will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He is active in our trials. Okay, and trials are temporary. One day we will know why we had to go through the pain we went through. One day we will know why it is that God chose to allow us to go through certain things, right? And that's really the point of this message, is sometimes I have to be convinced that God knows better than I do. Come on, am I talking to somebody this morning? As I try to convince him a lot. God, I don't know why this happened. I was going this way. I thought this is what you were doing. And then you did this. And now I'm somewhere in this storm trying to hear your voice and find my way through the fog. And the waves, they're getting big and they're freaking me out. And I don't know if I'm going to be okay. And the good news is that God says, I'm in the storm with you. That we serve an active living God who climbs down off of His throne, that gets right up in our boat and says, I am in this with you. So the other thing that helps me when I'm in a trial is to remember that trials develop a testimony, right? That sometimes what we go through is so we develop a thick testimony, not a thin one. Thin testimony is the one that says, I raised my hand, accepted Jesus in 1937, and first sign of trouble, I ran. Right? Thick testimonies. Thick testimonies are the ones that have been challenged. They're the ones that had to be forged in the difficulties of life. 1 Peter chapters 1, verse 7 says, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. Again, there's that testimony. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. Okay, it's being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. You guys catch that phrase? How many of you guys think gold's worth some stuff? Right? In my economy? Man, I'd love to have me a big chunk of gold right now, right? But what he says is that your faith, you're willing to be thankful in the midst of struggle, is worth far more than gold. He even says mere gold. Kind of, again, contrasting a kingdom economy versus kind of my economy, right? James chapter 1, verses 3 through 5 says this about developing our testimony. It says, "For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing." Verse 5 addresses the issue that I was talking about earlier, is seeing the sovereignty of God's goodness in the midst of our seasons of struggle. And it just simply says this, "If you need wisdom, ask our generous God." How many of you guys need reminded today that God is generous? That God is generous. And that he has more than enough wisdom to guide us through our storms. And it says that our generous God, he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. Guys, sometimes the storm is in our life, so we'll go to God and say, "God, I don't understand." And he reminds us, it's okay, you don't have to, because I know your future. I know the plans I have for you, and it's to bless you, and it's to prosper you. That's God's intention in our lives. Okay? Verse 12 says exactly what I just told you. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Because afterward, right? Key word there, right? Because I don't feel like I'm being blessed when I'm patiently enduring. I mean, how much fun does that sound like? Right? I'm patiently enduring testing and temptation, right? It says, afterward, you will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. That's good. I don't know if this is registering with any of y'all, but I'm enjoying this tonight. Okay? So, two more quick points. One is that our testimonies build trust. How many of you guys know that when we're in the storm, that's when people that we're trying to share our faith with are paying attention to our lives? Right? Then when we're Ned Flanders coming out of church and, "By golly, life is good and I never have a problem ever because I love Jesus." Right? Thin faith. Right? When we can get real, when we can be real and say, "Yeah, I have struggles and these are what they are and this is how God's working in them." That our testimony, the trust of our testimony, people grab onto. And they don't come out and say, "Well, I thank you for sharing that testimony, by golly. Thank you, thank you, thank you." No, but it informs them, right? It helps them see that we can go through a storm and it doesn't have to destroy us. It doesn't have to lead to looking for love in all the wrong places, medication from our pain in all the wrong places, right? But that we can tune our eyes to see Jesus and he will guide us through it. So testimonies build trust with others, and our testimonies that are developed in trial build trust with God, right? How many of you guys know that I have more confidence in God when I'm in a trial? Because I'm seeing him, I'm watching him work it out in my life, right? That there's that trust, and it's also reminded me that those testimonies build trust for God with me, right? Did you guys catch that? That the word that was used was trials. There's the state or position of a person being tried or tested. How many of you guys know that God is maturing us in faith? That's what this world's about. That it really is a time of being subjected for a limited and measured period of time to train us for eternal living. You don't hear that very much on the news, do you? We don't hear that very much in anything in our lives, right? But that is exactly what's happening in our trials. That our testimonies are being built, and that our testimonies build trust. And here's my, here's one more verse. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "Instead, You must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. Right? That's what we're talking about here, is that our trials create a testimony that God wants us to share with others, okay? And can I just say that sometimes in churches I think we get the whole idea of testimonies a little upside down. And sometimes we can be, you know, we give a testimony, it's like 57 pages long, right? And it always starts with kind of that narrator voice of back before the light, right? And it's this huge kind of embellished idea of, man, before I knew God, I was like this total messed up, gnarly dude, and then now everything's perfect, right? Can I tell you, I think testimonies get messed up sometimes because we're delivering to the wrong audience and in the wrong packaging. Our testimonies, according to that passage, is that we live our lives faithfully each day and out, day in and day out, and that develops a testimony. And that as we live out those testimonies individually, as a collective group, we have a greater testimony, right? How many of you guys know that this church has a testimony for 25 years in this community, serving and loving people, teaching them to worship, teaching them to love each other, and teaching them that we are in this world for a purpose, and that's to see his kingdom extended, amen? So here's the part that you guys came here for this morning. Here's the part that you guys wanted me to preach on from the moment that I got up here, and that is this promise, that triumph in the trial is but a matter of time. Amen. It's but a matter of time. I know I got somebody with faith over here. I love that. He's being thankful, right? He's being thankful in the middle of this. And my question before us, as the worship team comes forward, is are we measuring God's faithfulness to us? Joy, hope, peace, by a temporal material standard or based on the promises of his word that are eternal and unshakable? Right? Do you guys remember that verse we talked about? Huh? That his kingdom is unshakable, that it's been given to us. Right? And that the purpose really of the trial to get the sovereignty of God and to understand his goodness to us is that we would see him show himself strong on our behalf. That we would triumph over the trial by having a testimony that stays connected to Jesus in the middle of some difficult circumstances. Amen? So, don't take my word for it. It comes out of the word. Romans chapter 8, verse 37 says, "No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ." Overwhelming victory. Lord, help us to see the overwhelming victory in our lives. Help us to be thankful for that. It says, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. Some of us here today just need that reminder that maybe you've been going through a storm and you've lost sight of the Savior. You've forgotten that he loves you. He died on that cross, not for all of these people, but for you. For just the one person, he gave his life. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57 says this, but thank God, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. So today, whether you're in the storm or you're out of the storm and you're thankful you're not in a storm, or you're in a storm and you're training yourself to be thankful by seeing that it's only temporary, right? That our storms develop a testimony. That our testimony develops trust with those in our lives. And that the purpose of the trial is that God would triumph through it. So we're gonna sing a praise song now as an act of worship. And I want you to just bring to mind whatever it is that in your life you would say, this is a storm I'm currently dealing with. And I want you to sing this song as praise and thankfulness that you have a God who's actively working on your behalf this morning. Amen? You know, as we get ready to close the service here, I can't help but think there are some of us in here today that feel alone in our storms. That some of us are saying, Pastor Chad, I never knew, nobody ever explained it, nobody ever told me that God loved me so much that he sent this storm, he allowed this storm in my life so that I would be here today to hear the gospel message, to hear that he loves me and he gave his life so that I could have new life. That's you here today. And you say, I'm tired of fighting the storm on my own, and I want Jesus to lead me through it. Would you just raise your hand? And I promise, there's a whole bunch of us. Praise God for that. Thank you, Lord. And by acknowledging that, all we're saying is, God, you are faithful. We believe for you. So Lord, with all those that are saying, Lord, we recognize that our ship, our body, our life was never built to endure the size of the storms of this world without you. And so Lord, we thank you that at any time we can confess with our mouth, believe with our heart that you are Lord, that you died on the cross for our sin, for my sin, and that you rose from the grave 3 days later to give us victory over the power of death and sin in our lives. So Lord, we trade those things in. We acknowledge that we can't carry those things through life that we were never supposed to. And Lord, we ask for your victory in the hearts of your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen.
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church, check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.